What is so wrong with the Pharisees? If you read chapter 23, you see Jesus really, really condemning them. And the question is, what is so wrong with them? Last week, Jesus explained to the people what is wrong with the Pharisees. Hopefully you were here last week to join us. Now, in chapter 23, our Lord turns directly to the religious leaders and condemns them. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. Last week, the Lord talks to his followers about what's wrong with the Pharisees. Now, at this point, he turns to the religious leaders themselves and begins to tell them what's wrong with them. It is a powerful, powerful portion of Scripture. I can't wait to get into it. Are you ready? Stand with me, please. And open to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. We did 1 through 12 last week. We'll start today with verse 13. As Jesus speaks to the religious leaders directly. 23:13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And now would you pray for me that I would preach this passage accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I feel led to say again, I say it as a joke sometimes, but I want you to be reminded that if this sermon helps you, it is because of God's Word and God's Spirit. If this sermon does not help you, it is because of the human element in the equation. If it helps you, God gets the credit. If it doesn't help you, I get the blame. Verse 13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Do you sense Jesus' emotion as his broken heart says this? The word hypocrite is the Greek word hupakrites. It means someone who plays a part, like in a play or in a skit. The religious leaders were religious on the outside. They wore a religious mask, but on the inside, they were dead. No one in the Holy Scriptures is condemned more harshly than hypocritical religious leaders. The religious leaders have made two mistakes here. One, they have rejected Jesus Christ, and because of that, have not entered the kingdom of God. But not only did they fail to enter the kingdom of God, they led the people of Israel astray. And this is why Jesus is so angry. Do we have the same kind of leaders today in this world? Yes, we do. The biggest tragedy of a false religious leader is that they lead people astray. False religious leaders lead people astray. Religious leaders with their false ideas about God seem to deliver quite a lot. They can improve your relationships. They make you happier. They can improve your finances. A false teacher can improve your life in all kinds of ways. Some of the biggest churches are led by bad men. In your notes, Trinity Baptist, first blank, a good leader will lead you away from what is morally dirty toward what is morally clean. A good leader will lead you away from what is morally dirty towards what is morally clean. A bad religious leader will offer you a lot of help with your problems, but will not lead you away from sin. Today, many people, and here is the tragedy, here is what Jesus is so mad about. Today, many people who are honestly seeking a relationship with God are led away by false teachers and hypocrites. Can you see how Jesus is so mad at them? Jesus loves the people of Israel. We will see at the end of the chapter how he reaches out to them. And he says, you hypocrites, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter it who are trying. What's the answer for you and I? If there are false religious leaders in this world today, what should you do? And the answer is, you must study the Word of God yourself. In your notes, you need to study the Bible for yourself, not just to know the truth, but to live the truth. You need to study the Bible for yourself. You and I need help to not sin. God can convict you of sin through a good sermon. God can do that, and He does it all the time. But I will tell you where the power is. I will tell you what will help you not sin. Do you want help not sinning? I will tell you where the help is. It's not just listening to a sermon. The help to not sin is you spending time alone with God yourself. That's the help. When you spend time alone with God and you read His Word, and through His Word, He speaks to you powerfully, and you are convicted of sin, right then and there, in that private moment between you and the Lord, that's where the power is. That's where the power is. You need to read the Bible for yourself. Don't trust men. You need to read the Bible for yourself so you know the truth and you know for yourself that you understand the gospel and you're saved. The elders right now are coming to two or three people each, and they're asking you to write out your personal testimony. And this is why we're doing it. Because you need to know the gospel. You need to understand the gospel, not in a superficial way. You need to understand the gospel. You need to understand why you're separated from God. You need to understand what Jesus did. You need to understand what He accomplished on the cross. You need to understand how to be saved. And it's the elder's responsibility, and it's my responsibility to see to it that every single one of you understand it. This is my job. This is why you are paying me. It is my job to get to heaven and make sure that all of you are there. That is the irreducible minimum of my job. And the way I want to do that is to see all of you write out for yourself, Pastor Dave, Elder Michael, Elder Carrie, Elder Ben, Elder Saku, this is the gospel as I understand it. And we will read that carefully, and we will pray over that, and if you don't understand something, we will help you understand it. So when an elder comes to you and says, please write out your testimony, please write out your testimony so that we can shepherd you. You need to study the Bible for yourself, not just to know the truth, but so you can live it. If you're in God's Word and you're in that moment, I have heard thousands of sermons growing up, but what has changed my life is when I am by myself in my room, out under the stars, out under the clouds, and I read the Word of God, and the Word of God shines light on my sin, and in that moment, just between me and God, I am convicted. That's where the power is. If you want help to not to sin, that's what you need to do. My brothers and sisters, there are many bad religious leaders out there that are leading thousands of people astray. Would you please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3? Jeremiah 3:11. Jeremiah 3:11. The Lord said to me, "Faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever, only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and not have obeyed me. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town, two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." You know what the world needs? The world needs shepherds after God's own heart. Will you pray with me, please? I'm not even close to done, but will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now? Just in this few moments you're seated in the pew, will you pray right now that God would bless the world with shepherds after his own heart? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all the pastors in the world that truly are born again and truly love you and are truly filled with your Holy Spirit and truly lead your people. And we pray for this country, and we pray for other countries, that you would pour out your Spirit and you would bless the world with shepherds after your own heart that will feed the sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse 15 of Matthew. Matthew 23:15. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." When a Pharisee would convert someone to Judaism, they led them into their superficial system of rule-keeping. False teaching is very deceptive. You know, today, false teaching can be very exciting. False teaching can be very creative. False teaching can be very practical. False teaching can be very applicable to everyday life. And if you listen to false teaching, on the surface, it may appear to be more helpful to you than the accurate preaching of God's word. Listen to this wonderful quote from John MacArthur. Listen to this. "A dull presentation of the true gospel is far superior than an exciting presentation of a false gospel." A dull presentation of the true gospel is far superior than an exciting, creative, innovative presentation of a false gospel. The truth is the most important thing. Look at verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he's bound by his oath. You blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. The Pharisees had developed this complicated system about oaths, about making an oath. There was a list of rules about oaths. Taking an oath, in case you don't understand, taking an oath is simply swearing by something. I swear by this is true. That's what it means to take an oath. When someone says, I swear, they're taking an oath. They made rules. The Pharisees made rules about which oaths were binding and which were not. So, for example, if someone came to the Pharisee and said, I swear that I will give 10 denarii to the Lord's work, and then later decided that that was too much money, if they had sworn a certain way, they could get out of it. But if they had sworn another way, they were bound by it. The Pharisees were so busy making rules about religion that they neglected God. Jesus says, no. God is what makes things holy. If you swear by the altar or the temple or by heaven, you're swearing to God and you are bound. God is what's important. God is the source of holiness. Whatever is holy because it is associated with God. All these rules are not the most important thing. The most important thing is truth. God wants us to tell the truth. The Pharisees created loopholes in the rules so that you could get out of telling the truth. How can we apply this to our lives today? Very, very precise way to apply this to our lives today. Jesus helps us. Please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5:33. Jesus is talking about oaths. Matthew 5:33. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all. Now listen, when Jesus says, do not swear, he is not saying, do not use profanity. It is unfitting for a Christian to use profanity, and we have that later on in the epistles. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. Listen. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. How can we apply this today? Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. God is holy, and what God wants us to do is tell the truth. Jesus says, don't swear at all. You hear people say that. Oh, I swear. Jesus says, forget that. Just tell the truth. So the question It's a hard question, but the practical question for us today is, are you in the habit of lying? Or do you tell the truth? Jesus says, don't swear, just tell the truth. How else can we apply this? That's specifically what Jesus is talking about when he condemns the Pharisees. But there's a general principle here that we can apply, and it's this. Some churches get so caught up in their traditions and their policies that they forget that the reason the church exists is to obey God. God wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And God wants us to love our neighbor. That is what God wants. And our church traditions, our church bylaws, our constitution, our church policies must help us obey God. When they get in the way of obeying God, they must go. Are there any church traditions or policies here at Trinity that make it more difficult for us to obey God? Are there any traditions or policies here at Trinity that we can actually hide behind to disobey God? If there are, they must go. Are there any traditions or policy? Are there any religious traditions in your life? Any ways of approaching Christianity in your life? Any traditions in your life that keep you from obeying God? In your notes, God doesn't want a church that is run by religious tradition. God wants a church that is free to love. God doesn't want a church that is run by religious tradition. God wants a church that is free to love. And the next statement in your notes comes immediately after that. Trinity Baptist Church of Indio is nothing more than a group of people who love God and want to love him together. That's all we are. That's all we are. You want to be a part of Trinity? We want you to be a part of Trinity. That is all we are. We are nothing more than a group of people who love God and want to love him together. Would you please join me in Deuteronomy chapter 10? Deuteronomy 10. Wonderful verse. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. We ask in the beginning, what is wrong with the Pharisees? Remember that? In the very beginning, we asked that question. What is wrong with the Pharisees? This is what's wrong with the Pharisees. They love religion, but they don't love God. That's their problem. God is worthy of more than love. God is worthy to be adored. What is adoration? Adoration is when you are overwhelmed with how wonderful someone is. When you are captivated by the beauty of someone. When you are in awe of their wonder. When you are in awe of their beauty. When they are awesome, you look upon them and you adore them. And God, and only God, is worthy to be adored. Why is God so adorable? What is it about God that makes him worthy to be adored? It is this: his moral purity. His moral purity. God is perfectly morally pure. That is what is so wonderful about God. Listen to this from Thomas Brooks. This is incredible. Comes from an article called Holiness, the Only Way to Happiness. Listen to this. Who is like you, glorious in holiness? God is infinitely holy, transcendently holy, superlatively holy, constantly holy, unchangeably holy, exemplary holy, gloriously holy. All the holiness that is in the best and choicest Christians is but mixed holiness. A weak and imperfect holiness. Their unholiness is always more than their holiness. What a great deal of pride is mixed in with a little humility. What a great deal of unbelief is mixed in with a little faith. A great deal of peevishness is mixed in with a little meekness. A great deal of earthliness is mixed in with a little heavenliness. A great deal of carnality is mixed in with a little spirituality. A great deal of harshness is mixed with a little tenderness. Oh, but the holiness of God is a pure holiness. It is a holiness without mixture. There is not the least drop or the least dreg of unholiness in God. God is light, and there is no darkness at all in God. In God there is all wisdom without any folly, all truth without any falsehood, all light without any darkness, all holiness without any sinfulness. God is universally holy. He is holy in all his ways, holy in all his works. His precepts are holy precepts. His promises are holy promises. His threatenings are holy threatenings. His love is holy love. His anger is holy anger. His hatred is holy hatred. His nature is holy. His attributes are holy. His actions are holy. He is holy in sparring. He is holy in punishing. He is holy when he justifies some. He is holy when he condemns others. He is holy when he brings some to heaven. He is holy when he casts others to hell. God is holy in all his sayings, in all his doings, in whatever he puts his hand to, in whatever he sets his heart to. When he frowns, he is holy. When he smiles, he is holy. When he gives, he is holy. When he takes away, he is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is eminently holy. He is transcendently holy. He is superlatively holy. He is glorious in holiness. There is no understanding it. There is no measuring it. There is no comprehending it. There is no searching the infinite sea of his holiness. You would sooner be able to stop the sun or change the day into night, or raise the dead, or make your own world, or count the stars, or empty the sea, that you should be able to conceive or express the holiness of God. God's holiness is infinite. It cannot be limited. It cannot be lessened. It cannot be increased. Hallelujah. That is what is so awesome about God. So the question is this, Trinity Baptist: do you love God? It's not about religion. The Pharisees made it about religion. And it's not about religion. It's about adoring, absolutely adoring God. If you love God, know this. To love God is to love moral purity. Look at your notes. To love God is to embrace His definition of moral purity and to love and value all that is pure. To love God is to embrace His definition of moral purity and to love and value all that is pure. So what is Trinity Baptist? Trinity Baptist, again, is a collection of people who have embraced the moral purity of God and forsaken the moral corruption of the world. Do you need help to embrace moral purity? I do. I need your help. I need your help. Look on your notes. Trinity Baptist is a group of people that have come together to help and encourage each other to embrace all that is morally clean and beautiful and forsake all that is morally dirty and ugly. So what about you? I'm done, brothers and sisters. I'm done. I'm going to close with this question. What about you? Are you coming here to play church? Are you coming here to be religious? Are you caught up in religious tradition that has no value whatsoever? Or have you come to embrace God? Have you come to embrace God? I'm going to give God and God alone the last word. He should have the first. He should have the middle. He should have the last. But I'm going to be quiet right now, and I'm going to give you a few seconds to meditate on a passage of Scripture. So would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. Trinity Baptist Church is nothing more than a group of people who adore God because of his moral excellence, because of his moral perfection. And Trinity Baptist Church is nothing more than a group of people who have said, I forsake all that is dirty, and I need God's help to embrace his moral beauty. This passage describes moral corruption. Would you take a few moments right now? At the end of those, end of that time, Brother Carey will come and lead us in our closing song. Take a few moments right now, just you and the Lord, look over this passage and allow the Lord's life-giving word to shine his light on your heart.